line of reference. You spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light.
And as you speak,
so will I can see your heart and everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so
you lost your life so I could find it.
But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Well, good morning, Grace. My name is Lewis Pollard. I get to be the campus pastor up in Lindale, and I'm glad that you're here. We want to thank you for your patience and understanding. Because of this virus, we're kind of having to meet a little differently. We're meeting online, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that. One thing I want us to remember is that we are better together in community. We are sent together on mission, and we're in all together in worship. So this morning, that's what we want to do. We just want to continue in worship. As John and the team lead us, as Pastor Doug leads us with a text and an encouragement for us, and as we give through worship, we want to do this all for him. Let's do this together, church.
All right, here we go, y'all. Put your hands together.
Come, all ye weary. Come, all ye thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water. Come and thirst no more. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live. Come lay them down at the
Jesus is waiting, God so loved the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on, let's sing this together. I raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence. In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelieving.
I raise, come on, sing it.
I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody.
Yeah.
I raise a hallelujah.
Come on, heaven comes.
Heaven comes to fight for me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. 'Cause death is
campus pastor at our University Boulevard. Boulevard campus. There we go. Thank you for joining us here this morning. This morning has been a great reminder to me personally that the worship of God cannot be stopped. There's nothing that can stop the worship of God. So we have worshiped Him through song this morning. We've actually worshiped Him through fellowship. And so this is our staff. If you're live streaming and you're seeing some people here, this is actually our staff. So staff, you just want to say hi this morning. There we go. We do want to note that we have kept our 6 feet of social distancing.
So we are abiding by that this morning, but it's been good to worship God through fellowship. We're about to worship him through the scriptures, and now we have a chance to worship him through giving. And giving really is an act of worship. It's simply looking to God and saying, God, there's no more glorious being that exists. There's no more beautiful being that exists. There's not a better being that exists. That he is in control, and that all that we have ultimately belongs to him. And so this morning, we give out of an act of worship to who God is. There are three really easy ways for us to give this morning. You can give through our website, you can give through our app, or you can text GCC Give to 77977. Again, GCC Give to 77977. Let's worship God through giving. Let's pray together. Lord, we do stop and just proclaim the fact that, Lord, nothing can stop the worship of you. That God, you are the focal point of worship. God, you have designed us to worship. And you have designed us to worship you above all. So God, because of who you are, we hold loosely to the resources we have. In a time like this, that our grip is not tighter on those resources. We're more open-handed with everything we have because ultimately we know everything we have belongs to you. So God, use these resources to continue to expand and move forward your kingdom here on this earth. And we pray this in your name, Christ. Amen.
Fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Well, thanks so much for joining us for worship. I love that we as Grace Community Church are a multi-site and we get an opportunity to experience this together. Yeah, we're worshiping online today, but we're all together as campuses. Grace Espanol streaming on their own on Facebook this morning, but UB, OJ, and Lindale a part here. Thanks so much to Danny and Lewis and for Kyle and Kyle and John being a part of this. And my name's Doug. I spend most of the time here on Sunday mornings at the old Jacksonville campus, and grateful that you're with us. It has been one crazy week, as most of us can attest to, right? I start this way. The first sermon that I wrote this week started out like this. The coronavirus has the world on alert. South by Southwest, spring semesters, and the NCAA tournaments are all kind of normal things that have been completely disrupted by the coronavirus. And COVID-19 is super serious. And every large gathering is at risk of being canceled. That was what I wrote Wednesday morning. And then a lot changed from Wednesday morning to Wednesday night, when our president came on television and announced to us that the global pandemic had been declared, that the coronavirus had now reached that point. And so Thursday morning, I began my second sermon introduction, and it goes like this. The coronavirus doesn't just have the world on alert, it's really in our midst. The level of concern and the worldwide effects of it are still rising and have not crested yet, I'm sure. And it's time for us, the church, to be the church. I think as we look at this, we have to recognize that the coronavirus is now something that all of us in the world, the whole population, must have some reaction to. Now, you might be saying, I'm not positive of the reaction that we have had at Grace Community Church to not gather together and worship, but to do this online. You may be skeptical. You may be saying, listen, that's too dramatic. It's too fear-based or whatever. But let me just tell you, we're doing this for a very good reason. Actually, for multiple good reasons, but two that are super significant that we need to know right out the gate. The first is that we love you. And that we love our community. We love you, and we want to be sure that we provide every safety for you in terms of not getting the virus or passing it on to the people that you love. But also, we absolutely love our community, and we want to be a help in our community, and we want to be a help in the world. And I heard everything about the fact that a small community like 2,500 or 3,000 people really can't do much in terms of the global spread, but even if it's a minuscule part, we're a part of doing what the world is trying to do, and that's important for us. Now, I would imagine you're like me, and you've read in the last few days more about the coronavirus than you ever cared to read or ever could digest. And most of us could be candidates for that commercial. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an infectious disease specialist, but I did stay at the Holiday Inn Express last night, right? And so most of us have learned all these new kinds of phrases, all these new kinds of words, like COVID-19. And that's really, if maybe you know this already, but it's just an abbreviation for Coronavirus Disease 2019. And the coronaviruses are a large family of viruses that affect the world, a large family of viruses that include like SARS and MERS and several other kinds of diseases. And most of the time, those coronaviruses are contained in animals, and then they somehow get into the human stream. This one, particularly the coronavirus, lives in bats mostly. It's deeply connected to that. The thing about Corona 19 is that it's extremely dangerous. We already understand that. We know that for those who are at risk, the risk is super high. For the elderly and those who have a compromised immune system, it is deadly. It causes a kind of pneumonia that's very difficult to cure and very difficult to get over, but also extremely costly in terms of medical resources to take care of. That's why the system in Italy is falling apart and maybe could happen in all of the world if we're not careful. That's why these kinds of things are super important to deal with. The second word that I didn't learn because I'd heard it before, I just no way could have identified it correctly. I mean, I knew the word pandemic, and I could have made up a definition for sure, because I'm really good at making up definitions that really aren't even connected to what the actual meaning is. But pandemic is about the geographic spread of a disease. A pandemic becomes a pandemic when it reaches global proportions. And so it doesn't have much to do with the severity of the disease, but how broad the disease has spread. So that's a pandemic. That's why we are in a situation where the coronavirus is being called a global pandemic. The next phrase that I've heard a lot about is flattening the curve. And if you know anything about statistics, curves either are spiky or flat, and we are trying to flatten the curve so that there's not some overwhelming need in a medical community to deal with so many people. If we can flatten the curve a little bit, slow down the movement of it, the health community and the medical community will be better off, and it'll spread less. The fourth term that Danny's already brought to our attention this morning is social distancing. And again, that's one of those terms that I had never heard before. And if you are an extrovert, you are getting anxious to think that you have to be socially distant from people. If you are an introvert, you think you have found your moment, right? Because you don't have to worry about people being connected to you. In general, social distancing has a lot of different meanings and a lot of different understandings, but it's primarily not to gather in larger groups. And when you're with people, that if they're sick or sneezing or coughing, it's a good idea to keep a 6-foot distance between you. And of course, wash your hands and all those things. But the idea is that you alter your lifestyle. You change the way you operate. Now, I know this information has been super helpful, and I know that you've heard it a multitude of times. I also know that I am not qualified to teach a course on the coronavirus, and that's not why we're here at all. In fact, Danny mentioned it earlier. We're going to worship related to the Scripture. We're going to worship by applying the Scripture to our life. Every Sunday morning, we come together not to be schooled on what's out there in the world, but to see what the Word of God has to say to a world. We're going to, just like every week, expose the relevancy of God's Word in the midst of the situation that we find ourselves. That's what the Word is about. That's what preaching is about. Preaching isn't about trying to make the Word of God relevant. It's exposing the relevancy of the Word of God in a situation. And it is unbelievably relevant to the world that we're living in right now. Today, I want to remind us of a few truths. I want to provide us with some cautions, and I want to kind of set some opportunities before us. So let's start with these truths that are true about God, about who He is and what He's like and what He desires for us. First of all, we've got to remember that the Lord God Almighty reigns. That means that He is on His throne. That means that He is the King. Psalm 93, 1 and 2 says this, "The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity." You know what we learn from that? I mean, as I read that stuff, I'm reminded not just of the picture of God the King on His throne, but God the King who is in control of every single thing in the world. The Lord God is reigning and in control, and nothing surprises Him. He did not wake up on December 31st, 2019, look down at Wuhan, China, and say, "Oh my, look what happened." He's not taken by surprise. He's not backpedaling, trying to figure out what to do. He is completely in control of this situation and every situation. Yes, even as He lets sin run its course in general, He allows sicknesses like viruses, coronaviruses, to run their course. But He never allows sin or a virus or any form of brokenness to run its course apart from being under His submission. That's what we have to recognize, is that the Lord God is in charge and in control of everything, and nothing runs randomly. Everything runs under His submission, and He is allowing this to work His purpose for good. And in the midst of that, we understand something else about who God is, that He has the power to do whatever He says, whatever He wills, whatever He wants. Do you remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? This little phrase starts it off. And God said, do you remember that? And you know what happens next? Everything. And God said, and by his voice, he spoke the words, and everything that we're experiencing right now came into existence. This is the one who's got the power. He can do whatever he wants. Not just because he wants to do whatever he wants, but he's got the ability and the power and the might to stop a virus or to allow it to run free to a certain limit. He can let it run as long as he wants and shut it when he wants to, because he's got power to do that. He is reigning. He's in control. He's in everything. You, me, Corona, everything is in submission to God. Now, you might think, well, what's he doing sitting up there on this lofty throne? Why isn't he more engaged? And I want to encourage you. Not only is he above us, lofty and reigning, he's also intimately engaged in our lives in every step. Because we also have to recognize and understand that the Lord is not just looking down on us and kind of letting us have our own way or dealing with the things on our own. The Lord is looking down on us and he's grieving for us. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. I mean, God looks upon the world that he created and sees it having to exist in its brokenness, and he grieves. That's why he sent his son Jesus. Out of his compassion, out of the grief he has for us, out of the love that he has for us, he acts and moves on our behalf. He grieves over every single person, every one of the 5,960 people who have, as of this morning, have died of the coronavirus. And he grieves over every single person who's right now suffering at one level or another, having contracted the disease. God hates it, and he grieves it. He's allowing it to run its course, but that doesn't mean that he's not intimately engaged and personally concerned about what's going on in our lives. God is grieved over those things. He's also grieved as he watches doctors in Italy stand over patients and have to make a designation on whether this one is viable enough to actually provide medical service to. I mean, that's horrific. And he's coming alongside those families and grieving with those families and grieving with those doctors, because God is intimately involved in our lives. I mean, he's coming alongside brides and grooms who've been planning weddings for months, and now they're in a situation where their wedding might have to be postponed or they're going to have to alter it in a way. And while that's not the end of the world, he knows that's hard. He knows that's painful. He knows that's disappointing. And he grieves with them. He grieves with NCAA basketball players who were going to get the chance to play in a March Madness tournament, something that they've been planning on and hoping for since they were playing third grade AAU basketball. And they're disappointed and discouraged and frustrated. And yes, they've probably put way too much of their life into it, right? And parents have put way too much money into travel, right? And yet, God is with them in that, grieving the loss and the disappointment in that. That's just the way things are with God. He cares about the fact that we have a youth ministry staff that has spent months preparing this awesome Overdrive retreat, and now we're going to have to punt it because of the coronavirus. I mean, he grieves over those things. He cares about that. He loves us. He's like looking out at birds, Matthew chapter 6 says, and he cares enough about them that he feeds them every day. And then Jesus says at the end of that little statement, he says, and don't you think he cares for you even more? God's intimately engaged in whatever suffering, whether it's the coronavirus or something else. He is powerful enough to stop it and thwart it, and powerful enough to move you through it, and powerful enough to sustain you in it. But he also cares deeply about what's happening in your life, because that's who God is. He has an intense and personal interest in our welfare. The Lord is reigning, yes. The Lord is also personally engaged in helping us deal with our grief and all the issues of life, carrying our burdens, taking the ones that we've shouldered ourselves and taking them on himself. Now, that's who God is. And with the reality of the virus and the reality of those truths, Let me just share a couple things with us this morning, a couple cautions and a couple opportunities before us. First of all, the cautions. I'd love for you to realize that this is not our Daniel in the lion's den moment, right? I mean, this is an opportunity for us as the church, and one of the reasons we chose to worship online instead of together is because we think this is a chance to help support what governmental leadership believes is a good idea. We were encouraged by our city leaders to minimalize large group meetings, and we want to help in that. We want to be a part of the solution and not necessarily a part of the problem. We really want to be people who are supporting in that way. That's who we as a church want to be. That's who we as a church want to be connected to in terms of what God wants from us. Now, as I look at that, though, I also realize that some people are still going to say, yeah, but the government's telling us that we can't meet. Well, first of all, that's not true. And second of all, to try to align the fact that we have to meet online instead of together with the fact that Daniel was told that he's not allowed to pray to his God or he will be killed is completely disconnected, right? There is no equivalency there whatsoever. There is no comparison there whatsoever. If Daniel was telling you, was standing here preaching this sermon to you, he would be saying to you, listen, I was there. This is not a big deal. I mean, this is just an opportunity for us to serve the community. So let's do that together. I would further caution us, okay? I'd further caution us to see our decision to stream only as merely giving credence or feeding this fear frenzy that's out there. Let me just say this about that. I think we overreact to a lot of things. And frankly, my hope is that we are not overreacting to this. We may be, but I'd rather overreact in this situation because, I mean, there are valid and definable reasons why not meeting together could really make a difference in stopping the spread of this disease. I mean, if we're meeting less together in larger groups, there's less of an opportunity for us to infect one another. And all of us have people who we're close to and love who are probably at higher risk. And I'll tell you, I want to be one of those people who is at least attempting to not take back this virus to people that I know and love who are a little bit more at risk than I am. I mean, it just seems natural to do that. I know I can't guarantee that, and I may be the one that carries it to people that I love, but if I can take every conscious effort that I can not to make that happen, why wouldn't I do that? The second thing I want to caution us against is being self-absorbed, which is like what we ought to be cautioning ourselves against every single second of the day, right? Because if you're like me, I am almost exclusively self-absorbed sometimes. Wait, is that? No. If you're like me every day, I'm almost always self-absorbed sometimes. I'm not owning my issue, am I? I realize that. But self-absorption. Philippians 2:3 says, and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself. Let me just say, I believe it's self-absorbed to think because you're not at high risk that you can do whatever you want. I mean, it's just too dangerous in some senses. There's no vaccine. There's no cure for this. There's no real treatment for this. You just kind of wait it out and hope the person's strong enough to withstand the onslaught that the virus causes in people. And many people who are older and with compromised immune systems don't have the strength to do that. And so why wouldn't I think about somebody else instead of myself? It doesn't seem like all that hard of a decision, does it? Furthermore, man, we ought to be thinking about the way we act at places like Walmart as a church. I mean, I know you've all seen the videos, and I know you've seen the news reports, but the people who are taking their carts and stuffing them full of toilet paper and water bottles, and they can't stuff them full of sanitizer anymore because that's all gone. But, you know, they're hoarding it, and they're bringing it. And let me just ask you a question. What if we, the church, decided to leave some of that stuff for other people? Do you know, most of the people who are hoarding that stuff aren't even the people who really need it, and the people who really need it are not going to be able to get it. And we as the church, yeah, we may only be able to make a drop in the bucket, But you know what? That's a drop in the bucket. That's a decision to live for somebody else. That's an act of worship to say, I'm going to put this back so that somebody else can have it. Even if somebody else who gets it is hoarding themselves. It's an act of worship for me to say, I'm not going to be so self-absorbed and so worried that I can't let somebody else have this in the moment. The third thing I'd like for us to consider is that we ought to caution ourselves about being arrogant. Romans 12:3 says, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves under sober judgment. You know, I think it's time for all of us to just believe that we don't have all the knowledge and all the information. And I think some of us need to come to the point where we're willing to say that someone else might have more information on this subject than we do. And furthermore, someone who we normally disagree with might actually have wise and knowledgeable information about this. This should not become a partisan issue whatsoever. This is something that we're trying to accomplish together. And we have to be less than arrogant. We have to be humble and be able to learn things from people, even if we don't agree with them on a normal basis. I think if we can handle our pride properly, it's going to help us from having a cavalier attitude or being argumentative all the time or promoting conspiracy theories, which we've all heard a ton of already, right? Or just being plain smug. The world doesn't need that at all. The world doesn't need cavalier. The world doesn't need arguments. The world doesn't need conspiracy theories. The world doesn't need people being smug, and it especially doesn't need that from people who say they love Jesus and love the world. That's who we need to be. We need to be people who are humble in the midst of this, not prideful in the midst of this. Finally, I would caution us that we should never forget the truths about God, because sometimes, especially if the virus hits close to home, it's going to feel so different than the fact that God's in control or that God cares about us. But the reality is that He does, and that He wants to be beside you. Furthermore, we need to run towards this issue, not run away from it. And to meet like this is not running away from it. It actually is meeting it head on, I believe. But we're going to have the opportunity, and we're going to talk about those opportunities, because God's going to give us a multitude of those opportunities as this virus and this pandemic continues to make its way through the world. I believe that these opportunities for our life and our faith to grow are going to be great. And I think our opportunities to be the church, to love people, to be salt and light is going to be immense. So let me just remind you first of a few opportunities we have in this moment to grow in our faith. First of all, I think we have the opportunity to be reminded of our fragility. That means our fragileness, right? We need to realize this, that we're not promised or guaranteed a long life or a healthy life. That's not what God says at all. In fact, in Psalm 144, He says something almost completely different. He says, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. What's the point of that? First of all, because of sin, nobody lives forever, do they? We shouldn't be surprised by death. It's our lot. Suffering and sickness are part of the human experience. Sin has brought that upon us. Second, because of the fragile nature of humanity, because of the fragile nature of who I am as a person, we only have a limited amount of time to make an eternal impact in the lives of other people. What are we waiting for? We shouldn't just be doing this because the coronavirus is upon us. We ought to be living and thinking that way about every moment of our lives. We ought to recognize and understand that we live in a short time and that we have to make the most of that time. The second opportunity we have is to trust God in the midst of the fear and the uncertainty. I mean, I know that not everybody is feeling anxious about the coronavirus, but there are many who are afraid to get it or afraid that their loved one will get it. And that's producing anxiety and fear in their life, and they're living with that. And maybe you are. More likely, you are feeling anxiety or fear or frustration at the fact that the coronavirus is definitely going to disrupt your life, definitely going to disrupt some of the plans that you have in the next few weeks. And that's probably creating some anxiety and some fear and maybe some anger. But here's the deal. We don't have to be afraid. And we don't have to be anxious. Philippians 4:6 says, in fact, calls us to the exact opposite of that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, pray to God, is what it says. Eugene Peterson used to say, this verse just means flat out, worry about nothing and pray about everything. You know, my question to you is, whether it's coronavirus or anything that you're anxious about, what's your first response? Is it anxiety and worry? Or is it to offer this back up to God, asking him to come alongside you and help and to change the situation, or at least if it's not changed, to move you through it with encouragement and strength because you need it from him. You can have him remove those anxieties and those fears and those worries. You know, he's calling us to let him carry our burdens. Third, I think another opportunity is that we have a chance that we don't often get to slow down, to take a pause. A friend of ours told us that who was a health professional, said one of the most significant things that could happen in our community is if the world, our world, East Texas, would kind of just take a pause for maybe a couple weeks, a pause from living life like we normally live it. If we did that, there would be great advancements to the containment of the virus and an ability for us to really get a handle on how to deal with it. I mean, what if we just decided to take a pause? Some of you would say, I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know how to take a pause. You don't know what my life's like. I mean, there's no way I can take a pause. And I understand that. There's responsibility still, and not every aspect of our world is affected by the coronavirus in the same way. And so people still have responsibilities. If you're a mom at home, you know what? You got no opportunity to take a break from your infant or your two-year-old. I mean, I understand that. But what if during this time of at least reflection, we had a chance to say, you know, Lord, what are you doing in me? Lord, what am I doing in my life that is futile that I could cut out? What more could I do that could have an eternal impact in somebody's life? What if during this moment of shutdown, we did more than watch or binge watch the latest Amazon Prime series that's out? What if we just got with God and said, Lord, teach me something in this moment? What if we connected somehow with our friends and our family just a little bit better? Maybe it's personally, yes. Maybe it's in a wash your hands and keep 6 feet away from each other, of course. But what if you just connected in a way through media or the phone or whatever it was and had the opportunity to slow down and reconnect with God and reconnect with other people? I think that would be an awesome opportunity for our spiritual growth and our life growth. Well, all those things being true, you know, those things can help us, these opportunities to grow, but we also have a huge opportunity to love the world. Maybe you heard about Kevin Love and many of the other NBA basketball stars who've committed to the employees of the arenas that they play in, that they would help to provide their salaries while the NBA season is in cancellation. And you may be thinking to yourself, oh, what's a couple $100,000 to guys who make millions? But yet, you know, that's a statement of love and concern for people who serve them on a regular basis. What statement of love and concern could you make to someone else during this time? This is the opportunity we have. The church gets an opportunity to stand and be the salt and light that God calls us to be in an incredibly unique way. And individually and as missional communities, I want us to get creative as a church, to be engaged in that as a church. How can we creatively and specifically bring tangible help into the lives of the people who are the most affected? We are not running in fear from this virus. What we're doing is running in to serve. That's what we need to be thinking about. And pandemics have always been a place where the church has had the opportunity to shine. And they've stepped up to show the world the love of God. As a plague swept through the Roman Empire in AD 251, it approached the city of Athens, and the people of Athens began to panic. Everyone except for the church, the Christian church, brand new, really, in that city. And that church stepped up and began to serve those people who were getting sick by that plague and the dying that were there because they loved Jesus and wanted people to know who Jesus was in their life. In 1527, the reformer, Martin Luther, maybe you heard of him, more than just a writer and a theologian and a reformer, he was a follower of Jesus Christ with his entire being. And along with his church, he struck out into the city of Wittenberg during the bubonic plague to serve and help those who were struck by it. In 1793, in the city of Philadelphia, yellow fever had its grip on that town. And most of the citizens of that city were closing their doors and isolating themselves from those who'd been affected, but not the people of the church pastored by Richard Allen. They instead struck out into the streets and began to knock on doors and ask if there's some way they could serve this population. It was the church. And now it's our time. Now, even as I say that, I realize we're probably not going to experience people dying in the streets, right? But we do have an unprecedented time to show people the love of Christ, don't we? We have an unprecedented time to show people that God has a plan for them and that God has a hope for them in His Son, Jesus Christ. We can trust who God is and be the people of God to help God meet the need of the world. One tangible way that we can do that is to help the Mentoring Alliance, who's partnering along with the East Texas Food Bank and TISD to try to feed those students who rely on the school to provide nutrition for them throughout the week. And so the East Texas Food Bank is still going to try to offer those meals to people. And Matt Edwards and I were talking, one of our elders, and he said that there may be an opportunity for people to have to pack those meals at the East Texas Food Bank. And if you are willing to help with that, and we'd love for you to email Matt Edwards at the Mentoring Alliance. You can email him, tell him that, man, I want to help with that if it becomes available, and Matt will help organize Grace's effort into that. So that's one way that we as a church are already starting to get involved. Over the next several days, the staff's going to try to come together and be creative, but we also want you to be creative. We want you to be the church where God's put you to serve the people who you're near in that way. It's our time. It's our opportunity. And we can do this in an unprecedented way, showing people the love of Christ through being the feet of Christ. Now, as we conclude, I know in times like this, it's tempting for me to say, because I'm an optimist, hey, everything's going to be okay, right? Everything's going to be fine. Everything is going to be okay. But the truth is, everything is not going to be okay. I mean, coronavirus or no coronavirus, we are all going to die someday, right? Now, and that might sound just a little bit depressing and not maybe the best way to end the sermon. And so we won't end it there, right? We'll be reminded of something else, that we have hope. We have the only hope. We have the hope of Jesus Christ. And now we have the opportunity to transmit this hope of Christ to a world that's steeped in worry about COVID-19. We get a chance to be the love of Christ lived out, breathed on, and spoken into the lives of people. It's time we be the church. Danny and Lewis, would you join me as we close in prayer?
Let's pray together. God, it seems like we're swimming in uncharted waters right now. Waters that are filled with anxiety, uncertainty. Waters that are very choppy. Seems like we are not in control at all. And yet, God, we stop, we pause, and we acknowledge right now, God, that you are holding all of creation in place right now. That God, every star that you formed and created and placed, you're holding in place. Every planet, every galaxy, every person. That God, you're in complete control right now. That you're a big God. There's nothing beyond your knowledge. There's nothing beyond your control right now. And yet, you promised us through the word, God, that you're so personal that you would choose to draw near to the hearts of the broken and the hurting. God, we pray that you would do that. For any person who is experiencing anxiety, just an ounce of it right now, God, you draw near to their heart. Every person that is feeling the stress of uncertainty, Lord, that you draw near to their heart. Every person that is feeling physically ill, that you would draw near to their heart. And we pray that you provide healing for them as well. God, we know that if you desire to stop this virus from spreading and you want to end it at this moment, you can. Yet if you desire to have other plans, God, we pray that your will would be carried out. Lord, you know better than we do. You have better plans than we do. And God, ultimately, we rest in the fact that you are God and we are not. So God, we trust, we surrender, and we hold fast to you during this time.
And Father, in Jesus' name, we are grateful for the call, Lord God, to hold loosely our comfort and routines, regiments, and the simple ways that we do things. But Lord God, you're calling us to hold tightly the opportunity, to seize the moment, to be good stewards of what's in front of us. And Father, I pray that we would not be discouraged, we would be motivated to go to those that need you. Go to those that are lost, those are hurting, those who need to be comforted, and to show them the love that you've shown us. Lord God, unsettle us. Unsettle us on those little moments where we just want to make it about ourselves and make ourselves the center. Father, you are the Lord Most High. And I pray that we would be faithful in making that known. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name.
Let's stand together and worship, shall we?
that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Again, thanks so much for joining us for worship today. Grateful that we can do this online. It's highly likely that we'll be back at this next week. And yet, we'll make sure you are well aware of whether we're meeting in the room physically or online together towards the middle of the week. But things are changing so fast, we just don't want to kind of let that out yet until we figure out what to do next. So thank you so much for being, as Lewis said, patient and willing. But also, thank you for being the church, for coming alongside us, yes, together, but also what God's doing where you live, where you work, and where you play. We really are the church. We've said before that the church is never more alive than when the doors are closed and the lights are off. That means that we're scattered, and we're getting to be scattered more than usual. Let's be the church. Have a great rest of your Sunday.